The Double, a Petersburg Poem by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Translation by Constance Garnett. Narrated by Nick Sullivan. Chapter 1. It was a little before 8 o'clock in the morning when Yakov Petrovich Golyadkin, a titular counselor, woke up from a long sleep. He yawned, stretched, and at last opened his eyes completely. For 2 minutes, however, he lay in his bed without moving, as though he were not yet quite certain whether he were awake or still asleep, whether all that was going on around him were real and actual, or the continuation of his confused dreams. Very soon, however, Mr. Golyadkin's senses began more clearly and more distinctly to receive their habitual and everyday impressions. The dirty, green, smoke-begrimed, dusty walls of his little room, with the mahogany chest of drawers and chairs, the table painted red, the sofa covered with American leather of a reddish color with little green flowers on it, and the clothes, taken off in haste overnight and flung in a crumpled heap on the sofa, looked at him familiarly. At last, the damp autumn day, muggy and dirty, peeped into the room through the dingy window pane with such a hostile, sour grimace that Mr. Golyadkin could not possibly doubt that he was not in the land of Nod, but in the city of Petersburg, in his own flat on the fourth story of a huge block of buildings in Shestilovichny Street. When he had made this important discovery, Mr. Golyadkin nervously closed his eyes, as though regretting his dream and wanting to go back to it for a moment. But a minute later he leapt out of bed at one bound, probably all at once, grasping the idea about which his scattered and wandering thoughts had been revolving. From his bed he ran straight to a little round looking-glass that stood on his chest of drawers. Though the sleepy, short-sighted countenance and rather bald head reflecting in the looking-glass were of such an insignificant type that at first sight they would certainly not have attracted particular attention in anyone, yet the owner of the countenance was satisfied with all that he saw in the looking-glass.
"What a thing it would be," said Mr. Golyadkin in an undertone. "What a thing it would be if I were not up to the mark today, if something were amiss. If some intrusive pimple had made its appearance, or anything else unpleasant had happened. So far, however, there's nothing wrong. So far, everything's all right."
Greatly relieved that everything was all right, Mr. Golyadkin put the looking-glass back in its place, and although he had nothing on his feet and was still in the attire in which he was accustomed to go to bed, he ran to the little window, and with great interest began looking for something in the courtyard, upon which the windows of his flat looked out. Apparently what he was looking for in the yard quite satisfied him, too. His face beamed with a self-satisfied smile. Then, after first peeping, however, behind the partition into his valet Petrushka's little room and making sure that Petrushka was not there, he went on tiptoe to the table, opened the drawer in it, and, fumbling in the furthest corner of it, he took from under old yellow papers and all sorts of rubbish a shabby green pocketbook, opened it cautiously, and with care and relish peeped into the furthest and most hidden fold of it. Probably the roll of green, gray, blue, red, and parti-colored notes looked at Golyadkin too with approval. With a radiant face he laid the open pocketbook before him and rubbed his hands vigorously in token of the greatest satisfaction. Finally he took it out, his comforting roll of notes, and for the 100th time since the previous day counted them over, carefully smoothing out every note between his forefinger and his thumb.
750 rubles in notes, he concluded at last in a half-whisper. 750 rubles, a noteworthy sum. It's an agreeable sum, he went on in a voice weak and trembling with gratification as he pinched the roll with his fingers and smiled significantly. It's a very agreeable sum, a sum agreeable to anyone. I should like to see the man to whom that would be a trivial sum. There's no knowing what a man might not do with a sum like that. What's the meaning of it, though? Thought Mr. Golyadkin. Where's Petrushka?
And still in the same attire, he peeped behind the partition.